Welcome to the Destiny Church Podcast. We just want to take a second to thank you for listening today. We hope today's message encourages you to find a closer walk with the Lord. Here at Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships. Let's join in on the message together and hear a word from the Lord.
I have some rocks up here, and each of you grab a rock. You may have to grab more than one. And I want you to put, say, 2, 3, 6, 9, 12. Take three rocks to that section and three rocks to this section and three there. And I want you to pass them back. And I want everyone to have at least touched one of these rocks today. That's the goal. So even if you don't particularly care what I'm about to do, I do want you to have touched the rocks, or at least one of these 12 rocks as they move through the... And when they get to the end, they just get to the end, look down and make sure. And then I'll make sure that everyone has had an opportunity to do that. I'm going to preach a message today entitled, The Hand of the Lord is Powerful. Say that with me. The hand of the Lord is powerful. Say it again. The hand of the Lord is powerful. Do you believe that? He can do exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ever hope for or imagine. Can I get an amen? Are you excited to be in the house of God? Say amen. Do you believe he can do anything? Say amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, the Israelites have been in captive for 400 years under Pharaoh's rule. You know the story of Moses getting the children of Israel out. And then, of course, they wandered in the desert for how long? 40 years. They come to the edge of the Jordan River, and spies are sent in. Can we take the land? Can't we take the land? And the reports, 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 reports came back negative. 2 reports came back great. Joshua and Caleb, thumbs up, right? Joshua and Caleb came back with a great report. They said, guys, we can go in there, and those giants are nothing. And the reason, listen, take this right from the beginning. When you compare your problems to yourself, you look like a grasshopper. When you compare your problems to your God, you look like a giant. Amen? And so they said, we can go in. And the 10 said, no, there's giants in the land. But Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can do it. We can go in. And so the report was, Joshua said, let's go. Let's cross the Jordan River. So they took the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is about the size of a love seat that you would have in your front room, a love couch. Love seat? Love couch? Love seat? A love couch. I like that, how that sounds. But a love seat, you know, not very big, and then they would run the rods down each side of it, just like Indiana Jones. You've seen the movie. That's what it looks like. And they would carry, the priest would carry it on the shoulder, and Joshua said, I want you to go down to the edge of the river. Now, you got to remember that the Jordan River was at flood stage at this point, and it was moving quickly. And he says, I want you to go down to the Jordan River, and I want you to walk right through the river. And the priests were like, okay, but the river is still moving. Josh said, don't worry about it. Just go, dude. This is what the Lord's asked us to do. We're going to cross over. And so they loaded up the Ark of the Covenant, and the priests had their had the staffs on their shoulders, and the Ark was between them, and they were carrying it. And as soon as, well, there's two stories. One is, as soon as the first priest stepped into the water began to slowly recede. I like that story, but I think perhaps the story of faith sounds more like this. The first man walked in to the river, and then the second man walked into the river, and it wasn't until the last man got his feet wet that can you imagine being the first guy on the front edge of that pole saying, come on, dear Jesus, let's have this thing. And so what happened was, either of those scenarios, both of them are still miraculous, they step into the river, and the river begins to recede, and it backs up, and it backs up, and it backs up, and it backs up, and the river stops flowing, and the river bed becomes dry. So don't think of a wet river bed. We've got this is a type. Oh, I want them back out there. I don't want them back up here. Now, I want somebody to have one at the end of this so that they'll bring it back up at the end. So that's why I want them out there. Okay? So just throw them. You'll get their attention. You'll get their attention. That's cool. All right. Okay, so where was I? A dry riverbed. So the story goes like this. Now the priests are standing in the middle of the riverbed, and Joshua says to the 12 leaders of the tribes, I want you to go into the riverbed where the priests are standing, and I want you to gather a stone. Now, the stones in the story must be a significant size because he tells them you must hoist them onto your shoulder. So when I asked Miles last week, I'm in Belize, I said, go get 12 rocks. I need 12 rocks for my, and I need them. I thought like a size, these are perfect. This is exactly what I asked for because I didn't think you wanted to hoist a granite slab on your shoulder. But you have to imagine now that these are fairly substantially larger than what you have touched. Has everybody touched a stone? Who has not? Okay, good. All right, so the stones that we're talking about in this story are significantly larger, maybe the size of a basketball, but these are like softball size, grapefruit size rocks. So the story is Joshua gets the 12 leaders. He says, men, you represent the 12 tribes of Israel. I want you to go down there. I want you to take a stone, and I want you to come out, and I want you to make a pile of the stones right here on the riverbank. And it wasn't until then that the children of Israel were then allowed to cross through, and they all crossed through in one day. An amazing thing. And it's reminiscent, it's a re-fulfillment of really what happened when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, right? This is the same thing, only different. It's just like that, but different. And so after they piled these rocks up, the children of Israel then were then allowed to come through. And then at the beginning, and then also at the end of this story, the reason and the rationale for why this was done. Because there's going to come a day that the children will grow up, and they'll say, what is this pile of stone? Because stones don't naturally just, you know, pile up like that. And this is going to be your opportunity to give a witness, to give a testimony. And oftentimes, this is why churches have cornerstones that are engraved or chiseled out to say, I was there that day when that cornerstone was put in. I was there for the very first service of Destiny on MacArthur Boulevard. Can I get a hallelujah? So you have all touched the cornerstone this morning. And you are all here for the first service, the inaugural service, as we pass through, not 40 years, but 4 months, at the KC Hall. KC Hall was great. It served its purpose. It taught us a lot of things. Amen? But now we're here. And we must not forget from whence we've come. And so I want to bring this home to you and to me this morning. The story is found in Joshua chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, follow along. If not, I believe we have it for the screen. So when the whole nation finished coming up to the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people of each tribe, from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right there where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you're going to stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men, and he appointed them from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, and each of you should take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve, say this with me, to serve as a sign, to serve as a sign among you, so that in the future, when the children ask you, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, what's that pile of stones? What does that mean? You can tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Verse 8, so the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them, and they took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites. And the Lord had told Joshua, and he carried them over with them and to their camp, and when they put them down, where they put them down. Joshua then set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at a spot where the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant where they had stood. And they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing there in the middle of the Jordan until everything that the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses directed Joshua. So the people hurried over, and so as all of them had crossed the ark of the Lord, the priests came to the other side, and the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over also, and there's a backstory there that we don't have time to get into, but they didn't eventually totally cross over. About 40,000 armed, armed for battle, crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho, because the next chapter is the Battle of Jericho. So we're crossing over the Jordan. We're making a camp, and we're going to prepare for our battle at Jericho. All right, verse 14. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. When the Lord said to Joshua, then the Lord said, command the priest to carry the Ark of the Testimony, come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priest, come up out of the Jordan. And the priest came up out of the river, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet now on dry ground, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before in the previous chapter. Verse 19. On the 10th day of the first month, today is the 10th, by the way. The people went out from the Jordan and they camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that they had taken out of the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, here it is. In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. Did you get all that? Now, why? Why did God do this? Here's your verse. If we're going to inscribe, listen, look up here. If we're going to inscribe our cornerstone today, we don't have the ability to inscribe our cornerstone. I don't think they'd like us to rip a hole in the wall out there on the outside of this building and insert a cornerstone. So we have our 12 stones today. That represents our cornerstone. If we were to inscribe them with a verse, this would be the verse. This is the cornerstone of Destiny Church. Joshua 4:24. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Today, Destiny Church is 4 months old, and already we stand in a facility that is over 18,000 square feet. Can I get a praise the Lord? Come on, give more than a golf clap. Give a hallelujah. Give a shout unto God. He is worthy. Prophetically, we have crossed over into the Jordan. And I don't want us to forget from where we've come. And so we'll pile up these stones, and they will be our cornerstone. One of the most climactic events in biblical history. The Israelites had wandered for 40 years, but now the time had come. Behind them, slavery. In front of them, a new home. I'll say it again. Behind them, slavery. In front of them, a new home, a land richer than their dreams, more fruitful than their hopes, more beautiful than their imagination. It must have been like the time you first walked into your own place, whether it was your apartment or your house or your home that first time, or maybe just the most recent time, you got that key, you closed on the house, you closed on whatever, and you open that door and you walk in and you say, yeah, this is it. This is cool. This is my home. This is where I belong. I want you guys to have that feeling today that this is your place. This is your home. We're going to see children dedicated to the Lord here. We're going to see people filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. People are going to get saved and delivered and set free. Kids are going to grow up speaking in tongues. They're going to praise God. We're going to have revival. We're going to have the fire of God. We're going to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in powerful, powerful ways in this place as we dedicate this place to the Lord. This is not the town and country shopping center. This is a habitation for the Spirit of God. I said, this is a place for him to come and set up his habitation. We don't want a visitation. We want him to come and habitate. We want him to be here and dwell here so that when people come, even during the course of the week, we're thinking, wow, what is up with this place? This is not like a strip mall. This is God shows up in this place. Amen? That's why tonight's going to be super powerful. I'm believing for the glory cloud to show up in tonight's service. Tonight during worship, 6:30, come on out. No agenda, just to praise him and worship him. Amen? So their new home was the fulfillment of the promise that God had given to Abraham and that he has given to you and me. Yeah, it looked difficult at the beginning. The water was at flood stage. The rapids were swift. It seemed impossible. But God. Can you say, but God? But God. You know, somebody can rehearse all the wrong things about whatever's going on with your life. And I can go to the hospital and I can listen to somebody tell me what the doctor told them. Or I can sit in the lawyer's office with somebody and have the lawyer. But you know what? They don't have the last word. I said, they don't get the last word. But God. But God, the end of the story, your story, the end of your story is not yet written. You have a series of choices to make. Life is a series of choices, not chances. Can I get an amen? And this is what happened here to Joshua and what's happening to you and to me. But God, the Lord intervened, performing a miracle just like the Exodus from Egypt. I can't imagine what it was like that day. I imagine there were shouts that went up as they crossed through. Some of them couldn't even remember what happened in Egypt as they escaped because they'd been wandering for 40 years. So they were seeing for the first time as they walked in. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a church plant before, but this is a hallelujah moment. I said, this is a hallelujah moment. This is the time when we cross over and we go, are you kidding me? Look at this place. This is ridiculously large. This is huge. You know? I remember my mom, she's here today. My mom, you know when school starts, you always buy the shoes a little bit too big. You want the kids, right? You know what I'm talking about? Moms and dads? I know that's you, but that's how we rolled. You know, the shoes need to be just a little bit too big. Why? Because you're going to grow into them. You don't have to go through 3 pairs of shoes that year, right? So you say, man, what are we going to do with all this space? Oh, believe me, we're going to fill it. We're going to fill it with souls. We're going to fill it with people that love Jesus, people that are lost, people that need Jesus. Praise the Lord. So they walked through on dry ground. I remember, I'm super old, but there's an old song. It's called Miriam's Song out of Exodus chapter 15 that we sang. Gosh, this would have been back in the 80s sometimes. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Anybody know that song? Raise your hand. Oh, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. With that, that's the song of Miriam that she sang after the children of Israel came through on dry ground. Look at the horse and the rider. They're thrown in the sea, and we are here on dry ground. Do you know how many church plants start and fail, start and fail, start and fail? And here you are. The horse and the rider, turn around and look, are thrown into the sea. God has a plan and a purpose. He has not just a destination, which is heaven, but he has a destiny for you. He has a purpose for your life. Not just getting up and going to work. God has a plan, whether it's going to Belize or helping in missions or being part of the prayer team or just serving. Being involved in the kingdom of God is the best thing on the face of the earth because everything else is going to burn. Well, Pastor, what about that church you used to pastor? What about that? Don't you feel sad? I said, I don't feel sad. I don't feel sad. That place is still in the kingdom of God. Every dollar I gave there is still going to be producing in the kingdom of God. I didn't lose anything. We've gained another church. And so God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I can't imagine what the songs were like that day, but I was part of this morning's worship, and I thought that was mighty fine. Amen. So Joshua chapter 4, verse 3 says, choose 12 men from the people and command them. Tell them to take up the 12 stones. What's the deal with these stones? As I thought about this story, I think to myself, there they stood on the edge of the Jordan and they could not see the stones. They couldn't see the stones until the water had receded. They were buried. They were unreachable. They were covered by the floodwaters of the Jordan until you choose to step out in faith and face the challenge, will you ever be able to see the cornerstone of your own life? So, well, you know, I'm not going to move forward, and I really don't know, and I would love to be able to build an altar like that and set the, it's not going to happen until you make a choice that says, doggone it, those waters will recede in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to, as the carrier of the presence of God, I'm taking the Lord with me into my trouble, into my flooded circumstance, and then once you're there, then the waters recede, and then you'll find the rocks that you can make the cornerstone of your life on. But if you sit on the bank of the Jordan River while it's flooded, and you never make a step of faith. If Peter stayed in the boat, he would have never walked on water. He didn't know that he couldn't until he got out. I'm commanding, I'm entreating, I'm encouraging, I'm exhorting you, get out of the boat. This is your opportunity to say, you know what? I may have been kind of lukewarm, a little tepid in my faith, in my walk with God up until this point, but this is a brand new beginning. Amen? It's time for me to turn it up. It's time for me to dial it up just a degree or two. Water boils at? Water, 212 degrees. Not 211. Not 211. Don't turn the stove off at 210 or 209. Don't think it's not going to happen. It has to be 212, not 211. It will not happen at 211. So you must say, you know what? I'm just gonna trust God. Amen? I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to step out. I'm going to have faith, and I'm going to throw myself into the kingdom of God. And you know what's going to happen? It will freak you out. God's got more than you could ever hope for, think, or imagine. Amen. So that's where the stones came from that flooded Jordan River. And then they were stacked up, verse number 6, for an unmistakable marker, the very place where God had demonstrated his power. Verse 7, here's the answer to what God's next generation wants to know. Tell them the story. Tell them the story. Right now, the story is fresh. Right now, the story is like one day old. But there's going to come a time. Listen to me. I know this. This is the voice of experience. 30 years in ministry. You know what? You can get, let me back up. You know what? You can get tired of eating steak. Some of you like to try that. I know. You can get tired of eating steak. You can walk into a building like this and go, oh my gosh, this is so awesome, man. I want to give to the chair fund. I want to help with the platform and everything. And then 2 years and then 3 years and then 4 years go by. And it's like, yeah, well, you know. With the Lord's help and with his permission, I'm going to keep that stack of stones around this place for a very, very long time to remind us as a cornerstone that we were in the KC Hall with 90 people. That we're just trusting God. We're just going to believe God. We're going to step out. We're going to walk in the middle of Jordan. And that can be a testimony to you. Or in 3, 4, 5 years, new people come. And they will ride on your back. They will eat the fruit of your labor. They will sit under the tree that you planted and get the shade. And that's okay. Right, we preached last week that the last laborers get the same reward as the first laborers. I'm not mad about that. I don't ever get upset about that. But we must know from where we've come, amen. And so that pile of rocks is going to be for you and for me a cornerstone that says, "Yeah, I remember that day. I touched one of those rocks. I was a part of that." Yeah, you remember how it was? We just had black pipe and drapes, and we had a little flimsy little back thing and a bunch of old third hand speakers. But let me tell you what, the church doesn't need better music. The church doesn't need a better platform. It doesn't need better chairs. It doesn't need better lighting. The church needs the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what will change the face of this city and will change the face of the earth. Amen. Amen. Verse 23-24, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before until you had crossed over. This is what I want you to know. Number one, this is what happens when the impossible meets the promises of God. If you don't have an impossible situation in your life, you're not a candidate for a miracle. How many want a miracle? Everybody goes, yeah, I want a miracle. Guess what? You just signed up for a very, very difficult situation in your life. Because great testimonies come from great tests. So we want a miracle. Yeah, this is what we would want. And we can make our shopping list for this place. You can make the shopping list for your life and for your ministry. But what you're doing then is you're saying, God, I cannot do this in myself. I cannot do this in my own strength. What I desire is beyond my grasp. He goes, congratulations then. Now you're a candidate for a miracle. Amen? So we laugh at impossibilities. You know what? It makes the devil really mad. When you laugh at him. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Think of your impossible situation. Now go, ha, 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 ha. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you think? I got you, buddy. Number two. This is the outcome when the implausible comes up against the riches of God. and the glories of Christ Jesus. How can we do it? We could never do that. How could we do that? I don't know how we could do that, but God has a way. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. I don't know how to. You don't have to figure it out. His ways are higher than your ways. So stop trying to figure it out. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Say, you know, I don't know, but God knows. Well, you know, it looks pretty bad. Yeah, but God. Well, you know, I don't know about that. Yeah, but it's not the end of the story. Why don't you start answering your critic, the devil, like that? See, the doctors, they can give you a diagnosis, you've got cancer, but when they say, you got 2 months to live, whoa, no. No one gives the prognosis but God. Diagnosis, yeah, tell me I've got a broken arm. Tell me what the circumstances are. I won't deny that. I'm not living in some sort of bubble where I'm in denial about reality. That's weird. But I'll tell you what, I'd believe. Oh, I can't even imagine this place 4 months ago. I said, I cannot even imagine this room filled with you people 4 or 5 months ago. But God, think about your circumstance. Think about your life. Well, I don't know. It's my job. You don't know about your boss. You don't know what's going on in your boss's mind. You don't know what's going on in your company. You don't know what the backstory is. Just like when Abraham was going up Mount Moriah to sacrifice Isaac, there was all the while a ram coming up the backside. God always has a ram. I said, God always has plan B where those things are concerned. So don't worry and don't be in fear, because fear is from the enemy. He wants you frozen up. He hates liberty. He hates freedom. So you start feeling constricted in your life. No, that's not, I'm not going there. I'm not going to buy into that. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I function best in a realm of freedom. Amen? Number three, this is what happens when the people of God walk away from bondage and into a life of freedom. They could never have this freedom until they decided, you know what? We're going to leave Egypt behind. As difficult as it might have been for some, most of them said, we want to go. But it wasn't long into the journey that they said what to themselves? Oh, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to the leeks and the onions and the way that it was. Wait a second. You were beating out. You were making bricks without straw back in Egypt. Remember? You know, sometimes we forget how it used to be. God has brought you to this place this far, not to leave you. He has a hope and a plan and a future for you. And let me tell you about that. It's to make you strong. It's to give you to prosper and to not harm you. Amen? This is what happens when Christians band together in faith and stand together. I like to put it like this. It's when Philippians 4:13 kisses Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:13 and Philippians 4:19. If you don't know what those are, here they are. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's Philippians 4:13 on the screen. Well, that's great. Wonderful. Well, let it kiss verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I can do all things. Well, that means I got to get out and I got to struggle and I got to beat the bush and I got to help. Yeah, there is due diligence and you're going to have to roll up your sleeves in the kingdom of God. But listen, God is your provider. I said, God is your provider. You know who you work for? You don't work for Silco. You don't work for Ameren. You don't work for the county. You don't work for whoever it is you work for. You don't work for them. You work for God. When you realize that God signs your paycheck, it changes your world. Changes everything about what you do and how you do it. Now, when you go to work, you're working as unto the Lord, as you're supposed to, because everything your hand finds to do, you should be doing is unto the Lord. Well, I hate my job. I'm the only Christian there. Well, guess what? You might be the only Christian there because God wants a Christian there. I get tired of praying for people. Oh, Pastor, I'm the only Christian at work. Would you pray that I get a new job? It's like, wait, if you're the only Christian, if you're the only witness in the whole place, you want me to ask God to remove you from the harvest field? I don't know. I don't know if I can agree with that or not. Amen? Yeah. Life is hard, but God is good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Between today's realization of this dream and the future blessings that God has for us, there will be enemies, there will be battles, there will be skirmishes.
but we know we win the war.
We cannot yet see how God will do what he will do, but if we believe, we will discover our destiny. Amen. So you look to this memorial today. If those people have the stones, would bring them up here. Those 12 stones, the people with the 12 stones, if you'd bring them up here and set them on this piece of carpet next to me. And if you all would stand with me together, we're going to pray. And we're going to dedicate this place to the Lord. And so, you know what would be fun? Let's circle the room. Can we circle the room? I know it seems a little whatever, but it's going to be what it is. So put your back against the wall, and hopefully we'll, if you can't move, that's fine. Stay there. You don't, if you're not physically able. Great. Okay, can y'all see me? Oh, you're behind the curtain. Okay. All right, listen. Why destiny? Why destiny? Why here? Why now? Well, look around the room. Here's 300 people that are saying, yes, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen in our city, what's going to happen in the stock market, what's going to happen in North Korea, what's going to happen in Florida, what's going to happen in our government. But this is what I do know. He has done this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. Our responsibility is just to keep doing what God has told us to do. And that's believing for the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit. If this church is anything, it is that the hand of the Lord is powerful. Yes, we believe in miracles. Yes, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, we believe in the fruits of the Spirit. We believe that what God said, he actually meant. Amen? This is us. This is our DNA. And so today we set up a cornerstone. Mary, if you could just step aside there for a second. I don't know if you can see it or not, but the 12 stones are there. And I don't know where they're going to be next week, but they'll be somewhere in this room. And there'll be somebody next week that wasn't here this week. And they might say, what's with the rocks? And you get to tell them, let me tell you the story about how the hand of the Lord is powerful. He heals, he delivers, he sets free. And so if you grab the hand of your neighbor this morning, I'm going to close this in prayer. And then when you're excused, let the parents who have kids in the nursery retrieve them first. And then if you want to wander throughout the building, I want to encourage you to do that. And then come back at 6:30 tonight. What a glorious day. What a glorious, glorious day. Look around the room. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for allowing us to have crossed over into this new place of freedom. Yes, the battle of Jericho is in front of us. Yes, the battle of Ai is in front of us. Yes, there's Amalekites and Philistines in the land, and they'll need to be driven out. But we know this, the hand of the Lord is powerful. The hand of the Lord is powerful. And we've got a pile of rocks to prove it. Because we crossed through the Jordan on dry ground the day that the priests held the presence in the middle of the flooded Jordan. So Father, thank you for the story that you've given us. We will hide it in our hearts. And we will always remember how powerful you are, how weak we are without you, and how awesome we are in your presence. Thank you, God, for this day of remembrance, this day of dedication. And so now, if you'd all just lift your hands to heaven, Father, we dedicate this place right now. Come on, just lift your voice with me. Say, Father, we dedicate this place for your glory, for your honor, and from now and forevermore. God, that what happens in these rooms will bring honor and glory to you. Thank you that your church is not a building, but your church is a gathering of believers. And here we are today, God, believing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that No weapon formed against us will prosper. And that greater is he that is within us than he that's within the world. And that there is no more condemnation to those who walk in Christ Jesus, who walk by the Spirit of God. So thank you for freedom. Say that with me. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for my liberty. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. And we dedicate this place to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people give a clap of praise and a shout of glory. Hallelujah. 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 Now it's important that you meet at least three or four people that you don't know. So you're probably near some people that you don't recognize or don't know. Just walk up to them, share your name, say, hey, I'm so-and-so. How are you? God bless you. And we'll see you next week. God bless you. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Destiny Church Podcast. Our prayer is that today you were encouraged by the word that you heard from the Lord. If you have any questions or would like prayer, please connect with us at destiny217.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, where you can find all of our events and things happening around the church. Thank you for listening to the Destiny Church Podcast, where you can find real, relevant relationships.